Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Candy Fox Show. I am your host, Candy Fox, and tonight we have model Skip Robinson joining us. Now, Skip, is that your real first name on your birth certificate?
My real first name on my birth certificate is Frank, but
Frank,
okay. We'll try and keep that between us. I'm actually Frank the Third.
Okay, we'll keep that between me and our 765,000 listeners. That's okay there, right? Okay. So for those of us just joining us, I wanted to real quick to get into the chat room. If you are having issues, you probably need to create a free account, go into settings, and check to make sure you can see adult content, because technically anything over PG-13 is considered adult by Blog Talk Radio. And because I say fun words like fuck, I cannot be PG-13. So there you go. Now, this is funny. Skip and I met through, you remember?
BB.
That's right.
Yeah.
BB Black, who is amazing. She's going to try to call in tonight, absolutely, who is absolutely amazing. And so she's like, hey, you've got to talk to this new model. And so Skip and I started talking back and forth, and I realized, oh my God, you like horses.
I love horses.
Now, when did you first become interested in horses, or are you like me and it's just been always?
It's been always. I was kind of prepping for this, and I don't want to make it too scripted, but I was kind of thinking back to that very question. And I remember being in, I was probably kindergarten, and maybe you've even done this, but an art class, you would just trace your foot, and that would be like the body of the horse, and then you'd have legs and a head, a neck and a head on it, and a tail, and you'd have a horse. Well, that was all my artwork, was all horses, and I always, anything horse-related, Gunsmoke, Ponderosa, any of those shows, I was there. I was in it, you know what I mean? I was in the moment. So I've been a frustrated cowboy. I've always wanted a horse. I've always wanted a rifle. I've always wanted a good dog. All that cowboy, all the good cowboy stuff. So, it's just always been kind of a little part of my makeup.
I was fortunate in that I got to be around horses pretty much since birth.
Yeah.
My dad was a farrier trainer, and he had me on horseback before I was walking or crawling. So
that's the best way.
I grew up in the saddle. Although I've been slacking lately, so.
Well, hopefully we'll fix that. You got to fix that. My son and I used to go riding a good little bit, but it was always trail riding here, so I've never really just been able to get out and ride like I like to ride. We went to Wyoming a couple years back and did a lot of really no-joke cowboy riding and roping, and I learned more probably in a week than I've learned in my whole life about, cowboying, from mending fences to shoeing horses to building saddles to neck reining to, like I said the other day, using my legs, all that.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
The cool thing about it is when you have a properly trained horse and a properly trained person, you don't even need your hands. You can use your leg pressure and your body language to make the horse, do what it needs to do. So it's really cool. Now, have you gotten to go on, I know you didn't get on a lot of trail rides here, but have you been, on a cattle drive or anything? I've always wanted to go on that. I'm not in great shape right now. I wouldn't be, a big one, but, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually, and I'm still going to try and bring this together. We were supposed to go back out to Wyoming and go through like a breeding, branding and breeding when they start dropping calves and they start branding them. You got to do a lot of roping, and there's a lot of common sense real useful kind of cowboy work that needs to be done. So that's the
right,
next
yep.
thing on my. You know, I like to. I don't like to say that I have a bucket list, but I guess I kind of do because I really would like to get in on the branding. And they have the chuck wagon and the whole, you know, the bonfires at night and the whole bit. So
I would totally love to have. I would totally love to have a chuck wagon rig at some point and do the cooking contest.
Yeah.
I could come along and
that's
do the cooking while you do the branding because I mean I can ride and shit, but I'm not coordinated enough to do the rope. I would just fall on my ass and, you know, fall off the horse and, you know, no.
You got you tying up the wrong end. You got
well, no, I have, I have like, I have vertigo now. I never had vertigo as a kid and I have vertigo really bad now. So, I probably couldn't, unless it was a really good day, I couldn't spend hours in the saddle because I'd spend like an hour or two in the saddle and then just fall over with vertigo. So, plus,
okay, yeah, that won't work.
Here's something that you'll appreciate. Only a few of us know what it feels like to get off a horse after we've been on it for like 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you still feel like you're on the horse for like 2 hours.
Yeah. And you're instantly bow-legged. You instantly walk like a cowboy. It's
yes.
But it's a
it was
great
really
feeling
funny
to me to ride. I love that feeling. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right, and actually, our mutual love of horses is how Cole Stratham was born, which Skip is Cole, and he's going to launch my Twisted West series. Cole's Hunger is the name of the book we're working on, and so we're working on some special stuff. And Skip loves getting Cole in trouble, so all the trouble that he gets into, y'all can thank Skip for later.
Cole's going to live the life that I wish I could have lived in some ways. I'm not going to say it every way.
That's good because
yeah,
I was about to be honorary
think,
and go, what, you want to screw everything in sight? Because Cole's kind of a Cole's kind of a hussy. He's kind of
hussy.
He's kind of hussy.
Gets him in trouble. It gets him in a little trouble, but he means well.
Let's just say that if Cole wasn't a Texas Ranger, he might be a gigolo.
That's it.
Maybe
that'll be the next cover.
Maybe. I mean, I have an MC series. A motorcycle
yeah,
gigolo guy. That might be interesting.
All right.
We do have a couple people that we've had on hold for a while. So let's take our first question, and then we'll go back to take in some calls. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call out an area code and then bring you on and ask who you are. So 580, you are on the air with us. Who am I speaking to?
This is CJ Daisy.
Well, hello, CJ Daisy. How are you, baby girl?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my God. I love your accent. Where are you from?
Oh, Lord.
Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I live in Oklahoma.
All right, shut up.
But I don't have an accent. I'm jealous.
You don't have an accent, do you?
Well, I'm from Indiana. Now, my husband's here from Oklahoma. He was born in Broken Arrow, and we're in Tulsa now. Whereabouts are you?
I'm down by the Texas-Oklahoma border, down by the Red River.
Oh, okay. We go down.
I'm way down, like, in central
south
Oklahoma. I'm like... It's like in no man's land. It's
okay,
really
now is
bad.
It anywhere near like where we would go from Tulsa to Dallas? Because we do that a lot. I have a friend. Okay, so I have a friend that has a restaurant in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
She's an executive chef. So,
you know, Dallas is closer to me than Tulsa is.
I'm
not
even
closer
to
Dallas than I do Tulsa.
Well, then you'll like some of my books, definitely, because I write them in Dallas. So, do you have a question for Mr. Skip or Cole, either one, or both?
Well, you know, he answered my frustrated cowboy question. I was going to ask him why hashtag that, but he answered that. So, I guess my next question, yes, you did. I listened. What made you decide to go into this line? Like, the modeling is, like, what made you go into the romance book type modeling thing?
That's actually a very great question. So without giving you too much information, I was into bodybuilding for years. I'm a pro bodybuilder, but I don't compete anymore. But I still train like it. I still train you know, 6 days a week, and I like to train hard, but I like to have focus, something to hook me to train towards. I like a goal, and so I just kind of stumbled into fitness modeling, and then just by surveying the landscape, it looked like the romance novel book cover thing was kind of a big submarket, if that's even a term. Mm-hmm. So I figured, and I just told Candy I wasn't really big into the bucket list concept, but kind of put on my bucket list, I wonder if I could get on the cover of a daggone book. So I worked with a local photographer. I think we are, and I'm excited for that, and I can't wait to shoot with Golden for that, with Candy's kind of oversight and vision, so we make sure we get exactly the right cover and look that she's got in her mind. But I got with a local photographer, and, you know, of course I shot cowboy pictures. Because why? Because that's what I like. I shot cowboy pictures, Western stuff, and then we shot the kind of paramilitary. We actually did that in my backyard. But I did that with the idea that, you know, maybe I just put them out there and, you know, show a little bit of versatility. And then I booked a shoot with Reggie, and Reggie's much more in line with the book cover industry. So he kind of tweaked and kind of focused me more on that biker look and a little bit of cop, you know, cop detective, plain clothes, not much clothes, mm-hmm. wearing a badge and handcuffs kind of look. So I kind of have a little bit of that in my background. And then that's, I think, when BB maybe saw some of my pictures.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. Did you say you were going to handcuff me?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I did. But this is R-rated, right? We can go that far.
I can say anything I want, and I usually do. So I have been known to have orgasm contests on this show. Just saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm hanging up now. I'm hanging up.
Well,
bye.
Bye, CJ.
I lost my train of thought completely, but I think you got the point. I think I answered your question. I really got into this, kind of stumbled into it, but the reason behind it was I really wanted something to continue to push my training towards. I needed something to kind of give me a goal to just continue training, because that's really what I like to do is work out. I'm kind of stuck in workout mode, and I might as well work out for something. So it's kind
we're,
of
we're talking
kind
about
really
your
how
goal.
I wanted.
Let's take a call from 240. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear? Hi.
I can. Who are we talking to?
You're talking to Skip's sister, Cindy.
Oh.
Hey,
are we in trouble, Skip? Because, you know, he told you we're going to be bad, right, Cindy?
No.
Did he warn you about me? I have no filters.
No, it's all good.
I am a blue-haired white girl with zero filters, just FYI.
sounds like you'd be a good friend of mine.
Yes. Are you going to tell us stories? Are you going to tell us a good story about him or something?
You know, actually, I did not. There are tons of stories. I guess I just really want to comment. Skip knows I'm his biggest fan, and
I love that.
So I'm on the line because, you know, I want to support him. I love him, and I think it's awesome that what he's always done to just he reinvents himself, and he finds new niches and ways to, like he's saying, to stay on top of things, to find something to shoot for. He has all the passion that I did not inherit. I am in awe of that. Live your best life, bro. I love you. We all love you, and we all just support everything that you do.
So it sounds like to me,
you,
Eugene, Chris, might be a little bit like Liv and Major.
Pardon me?
Yeah, you're a little bit like Liv and Major. You're like more laid back, like Major, and Liv is more like, I got to do this 24/7.
Yes, exactly. You nailed it. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so it's a cool thing that he's doing, and I think it's awesome. So I wanted to just call in and wish you all the best, bro. You know, we'll be following you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you, sis. And I'm glad I didn't know you were calling in, because I would have been twice as nervous.
Well, at least we haven't said anything really bad yet.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great, bro. Not to worry. All righty. Hang in. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
And nice. You're welcome. Nice to meet you over the air.
It's nice to meet you as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Care.
You too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. Well, how sweet is that? You know, that's something I've never asked you.
Yeah.
Do you have one sibling or do you have more?
That's it. I have one sister. She's 11 months. I think she's 11 months older than me. And we were pretty close coming up. You know, not quite twins, but.
Wait, she had the audacity to be older? She had the audacity to be older?
It's probably best, because at least she had a loose. She paved the way that I at least knew there were rules. You know what I mean? She definitely was she's the best. I can't even lie. And the twins, oh my God, they love her the best. She's the best aunt of all time.
Now, since we've mentioned the twins, we'll go ahead and fill everybody in that's just kind of joining us maybe or listening in later who doesn't know us. Skip is a proud father of 16-year-old twins, Olivia and Major, and they are both freaking awesome. I haven't got to talk to them, but I've talked through Skip, back and forth for messages or whatever for a few things, and they are really awesome kids. I mean, awesome enough that I really think that I need to base those YA characters off them, because that their dynamic is just so cool.
It is, and I'll let you keep talking, but it's an experience that is hard to explain, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. It really is kind of my reason for being, and I already miss them. They're still 3 years out from going away to college, but I'm like, man. That's going to be a rough time.
It is, but you guys seem close enough that I think that maybe you'll keep in touch more than the average parent / college kids.
Sure. Yeah, I'm hoping so.
Especially since you're the cool dad that's out, still doing shit.
Most definitely still doing shit. I got to. I signed up for it, and I'm not going to.
Although, now, I'm just going to tell you right now, when Olivia gets elected, I expect an invitation to the White House.
You want a cabinet position? Is that what you're saying?
No, man. I just want to come and have dinner and check it out.
You'll most definitely get an invitation to the White House.
I don't think anybody wants me on the cabinet, because I'm kind of to the age where I'm like, fuck that, off with their heads. I get to this. I've always been this like super patient, easygoing person. In the last 5 years, I'm like, screw that, off with their heads. I'm done. I'm like, there's that saying that said, not my circus, not my monkeys. Unfortunately, those are usually my monkeys.
Yeah, those are my monkeys. However, it's not my circus, but damn it, give me my monkeys back.
Yeah. So since I have all those monkeys.
Yes.
All right. Now, you have done like 5,389 things, including how many times did you letter in high school?
I lettered 9 times in high school, and it always sounds like not 10 or not, why 9? But we only had 3 seasons, and when I was in high school, it was 10, 11, and 12. Now, middle 4 years. But when I was in high school, it was 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So I lettered, all 3 seasons for 3 straight years.
Yes, my school had 9th through 12th. So the freshmen were put in with that. And I know it depends on the school, how they divide it up, like whether it's 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th, 11th, 12th. Yeah. That's okay. Now, what
that's the way I had,
sports did you letter in? Basketball, football,
I lettered in football and indoor and outdoor track. I stopped playing basketball.
Indoor and outdoor track.
yeah, indoor and outdoor track. I stopped playing basketball when I got to high school because they had indoor track and it was right on top of basketball season. So
nice. Now, we didn't have indoor track events, but we did have indoor. Outdoor, I did shot put and discus.
Oh, heck yeah. I watched a guy today. I was watching a little bit of just channel surfing, and there was a pro track meet on, pro indoor track, which was odd to me. But this grown-ass man from Arkansas, put a shot 76 feet, broke the indoor world record by 2 feet. It was a bomb. And they had that yellow line like they do. If you ever watch football, they have a yellow line that shows you where the first down line is. So when you're watching TV, you know how far they need to go. Well, they had that yellow line that showed where the world record was, and he just obliterated it. I was like, holy crap. 6'7", 320 pounds.
Sherry says she loves your sister. And you know what? We didn't get her first name. What is your sister? What is your sister's first name?
Cindy
Skip's
yeah.
sister. That is right. Cindy Candy. I should have known that. By the way, everybody that doesn't know me, I am horrible with names. I can remember a face I met 40 years ago. Ask me the name of somebody I met yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not a great name.
My brain does not retain names. Also, I'm a geek and used to do a lot of paper and dice, like D&D playing.
Yes.
I could probably sit down, if I had my character sheet and everybody that was around the table, like a game I played 20 years ago, and everybody sat around the table with their character sheets, I could take a look at everybody's sheet and tell you where we left off. It's just the weirdest things that I remember. I'm like, okay, brain, why can't it be something useful like algebra?
Yeah, I get it. I'm totally with you on that.
And you have.
So Sherry's not going to call in and ask the questions? Go ahead.
I don't know if she's going to call her to ask questions or not. Sherry, call and ask questions. There.
I just want to hear what she sounds like.
Actually, I want to talk about your martial arts next.
Oh, sure. Yep.
So,
what would you like to know?
What degree? I want you to tell everybody what degree you have, what it's in, and what got you started.
Okay, so I studied Tang Soo Do, which is a very traditional Korean martial art. I was 3/4 of the way to my 3rd level black belt when I got my knee replaced. And what got me started, actually the twins started going before I did. We took them there because they had before and after, and they flourished in everything. Now, and they kind of always do, but they started doing really well. I had just gotten my shoulder reconstructed. My wife started taking it, and I was happy to just be a sideline cheerleader. I wanted them to have their own thing, do their own thing. And the instructor finally put me into starting training. I said, maybe I'll be ready, you know, with my shoulder. I can come in April. And he said, you'll start Saturday. And so I started that next weekend, and off I went. And just moved up really fast. It was something I just felt like I could do, and I caught on really quick and moved up pretty fast, fighting, you know, sparring and weapons and empty hand forms. I wound up teaching probably as much as I was training there towards the end. So, martial arts is one of those things that I feel like is kind of inside of me that I just kind of, it was just kind of dormant. But as soon as I started training, it just all clicked and it all made sense. And it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like learning a foreign language. Some people,
right,
the words just come to them. Other people, they struggle a little bit. I struggle with a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong, but martial arts was not one of those things.
It's very cool. I still actually want to learn self-defense.
Yeah. So the self-defense aspect of it, especially now, is the one thing that when I walk around, and I'm not walking around looking for trouble, but I kind of have a little bit of peace of mind because I don't feel like, you know, I never feel like I'm vulnerable. You know, I never feel like I'm unarmed. I never feel like I'm going to be at somebody else's mercy. I feel like I can handle it.
Yeah, I think that I kind of felt like that until the incident which caused my PTSD. Even though I haven't been formally trained, I grew up with a pretty rough family, so I can handle my own. And I had before, because when I was in my 20s, a guy was attacking a friend of mine. And I literally just adrenaline went through my body and I grabbed him by the back of the neck and threw him off her and kind of flung him. And he just turned around and clocked me one. And I just stood there and looked at him like, and what else you got?
That's all you got. Yeah.
And he and all his buddies took off. But, you know, I have a brother who is a very large man who used to use me as a tackle and a punching bag. So I can take a hit. And in that instance, it actually saved somebody from being raped. So there you go. But wait, I think that the person you requested might be on the line. Let's check it out. Hello, 806.
Hello, it's Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you, Skip?
Exactly like you hey, Sherry, how are you?
I'm doing good.
She has the giggles.
Well, how are you feeling about all the press you've been getting lately?
Well, you know what? I'm not making this up just because we're on a podcast. I'm so excited to do this. It's not even funny. I'm not really that big of a show-off, but I think there's an element of that I kind of have to, you know, put myself out there. People, you know, if you're gonna be on the cover of a book, if you're gonna be a persona, a character in a book, people are gonna want to interact with you and kind of figure out who you are and what you're about. So, you know, I'm certainly more than willing to put myself out there in that way. But so how I'm feeling about it, I'm feeling really excited. And I feel like I just, you know how people say that things happen for a reason? Well, things have just kind of lined up and come together for a reason. To be this character in a book is almost a little bit surreal for me because it just seems like it's almost like martial arts. It's like it's something that's kind of been in me, and I'm just enjoying the fact that I get to have a little bit of involvement in developing this character because it's really exciting. It's very cool. I'm excited.
Well,
I guess that's the word I've used like 20 times.
I know from my end, seeing it, it's been great. And you being so good-natured about it has let us have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be fun. Otherwise, who wants to do it, right?
Well, yeah.
No, I love all of my cover models, but I have to say that I really enjoy how much you're getting into making Cole. And for me, that's totally fun because I love putting elements from the models on the cover into their characters.
Yeah.
Not, to me, it's not just about, okay, I got this picture, now I'm going to make this story. To me, it's like, okay, I want to get to know the model. I want to put some of your characteristics in this. Because as a reader, how cool is it to know that some of the real-life elements of the person on the front of the page is in between the pages?
Yeah.
And as a reader, I think that is just amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like I said, everybody has been fantastic. But you have been, you are, and you still are, because we're a long way, we're still making Cole. We have so much fun, so many things to do. Now, Cole is going to be a Panther shifter, or for those of us that are old school, Panther, whichever name you prefer, I am fine with.
That's new for me. Is new for me. I've never heard that.
The old is new for me. You haven't heard werewolf and werefox and.
I didn't know. Yeah, no, I only heard werewolf. I never knew that was a prefix for he's a shifter.
Cool.
Of course he is, but I mean, I never knew that was the. Where the root came, or the prefix came from. That's cool.
And then some of them have other names like Korax, which is a werecrow, pretty much. And then there's the Kitsune, which Cole's mate is actually a Kitsune, and the Kitsune is a nine-tailed fox. She'll have some special powers. What's happened is, for those of you that have read Twisted Time, this is the book that will take up in the Old West and introduce what happened, which actually Skip helped me pick out the name of the event, and we're calling the event Genesis. I don't want to give it away. For those people who haven't read the end of the book, there is a cataclysmic event that happens at the end of that book that launches our series.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Well, it was a spoiler alert without being a spoiler alert. Sherry, did I do an okay job of not telling them everything?
You did a wonderful job.
Sherry is, everybody asks me if Sherry is my PA, and I always say no. And they always look at me like, what? Because I call her my WA, which is like my writing assistant.
Yeah.
I have dyslexia and a couple of other like weird brain things that happen. And believe me, the books are so much better because Sherry is there and she understands that. So she can go in and look at something and go, okay, Candy, you've twisted this. Is this what you mean? Or whatever. Whereas somebody else would just be like, what the fuck, Candace? You know, all I have to say is Candace Marie when I call when I'm talking to myself like that, because that's what my mother would do. Candace Marie. What? Did your mama do that? Is that when you knew shit hit the fan? Like when your mother said that word that we're not going to use in your middle name? Or did you get the third, too? Did you get all the names in the third, or was it just?
I got Skipper. I got the long version of Skip. I got Skipper. Yeah. And the other thing my mom had the habit of doing was not saying anything, but she could stare at you for a year straight without blinking.
Yeah. Now you and I are kind of a similar age. So did your mother ever tell you, I brought you into this world and I can take you out?
No, my mom never actually said that. I'm not gonna put her in that category. But,
my mother did, and so did most of the mothers I know. It was just that age. I will take you out.
Yeah. No, she never said that. The cruelest thing she ever did or said was stare at me until I couldn't take it anymore. I would rather she just hit me or said, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. Because the stare was just, it was awful. Because as a kid, you know how time is way longer anyway.
Right.
5 minutes seems like an hour. Yeah, she would just stare at you, and you'd look away from her, and then you would look back over, and she'd still be looking at you. It's like, oh my god.
Okay, that was her equivalent then of just silently telling you, "I'm going to take you out of this world." She was just sending that brain wave in there.
Yeah, that was brutal. So CJ says she has another question.
All right, I'll come back to you, CJ. Sherry, honey, I'm going to put you on hold. Go back to CJ.
Okay.
Okay. Is that fair? I don't know how it works.
That's fine. All right, Miss Twain.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Are you going to make fun of me? Are you going to give me shit about my accent? Is that what you're going to do?
No, ma'am. I admire your accent. I love accents. The more I tell you what.
Okay.
If you get me in the room with somebody from Georgia for like less than 5 minutes, and I will start talking just exactly like I'm from Georgia, and I just cannot stop. And I had a friend of mine that get really mad at me because I couldn't turn it off, and I just couldn't. There you go.
Okay, well, I have a question. I had a real legitimate question.
All right.
When can we expect this book? When can I have this book on my Kindle and in my hand? When?
It is going to be September, October-ish, because I had some other commitments that I had before I met Skip. And actually I am bumping other books to get Skip's out first, but there were commitments I had, had to do. So I'm looking at it definitely September, October this year.
Good deal. Okay. Sounds
good.
Thank you.
But since Skip is working with me, go ahead. Thank you, sweetheart. I'll put you back on mute. Since Skip is working with me, we'll share snippets and stuff throughout the book. When we get some good quotes and stuff, we'll make up little teasers for them and stuff and do that.
Little nuggets, little teaser nuggets.
We'll give them like, little nuggets. I'll tell you what the first little nugget is. I made up special creation of creatures just to send after Skip. Well, Cole. As the beginning of the book. So we'll start.
you did tell me that, and I had a vision of that. I actually got a visual, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty Cole doesn't get scared of much, but he's definitely gonna be very aware. That's a very cool.
I also told him we had to ride. He also has to ride like 700 miles or something like that.
Yes,
nonstop.
Math problems. Westbound train to Chicago at 8 in the morning, doing 70 miles an hour. Yeah, so I got a lot of riding to do. But first, I got to get out of my my
predicament.
Yeah, my predicament. That's exactly right.
And now what could have gotten Cole in a predicament so early?
What's got him in a predicament so early?
Yeah.
Are you quizzing me, or are you wanting me to make something up? Because I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell too much of this.
See if you can figure out how to tell it without telling it.
Well, I don't know that I know it well enough to not tell it.
I will tell you this.
Go ahead.
Cole's little head got him in trouble.
That's the common theme. I was kind of going to get to that, but I didn't know if that's what you were getting at. Yeah.
I don't mean little trouble. I mean like trouble.
Yes. Yes, all the way through. Yeah, little Cole seems to lead Cole in some bad situations.
We are definitely going to have to come up with a fun nickname for little Cole, just to start using as a code word when we so we can mess with people as we write this book.
Yes. Well, the horse has a name and Cole has a name, and Cole's love interest or better half or other half or Vex has a name. So yeah, his troublemaker should have a name.
It should.
Maybe troublemaker.
But we can't ask the twins for that one, so.
No, that'll have to
I
be.
I ask the twins all the PG questions.
We keep the twins to PG questions.
Until they turn 18, and then all bets are off.
Which is ironic, because some of the stuff they listen to, my son listens to mostly like classical and more.
I'm sure that he already knows everything that we're talking about, but as a parent, you don't want to know that. I get it.
Yeah, you exactly. You very well said. I don't want to know that.
No. So have you ever seen Meet the Fockers?
I have seen Meet the Fockers, and then there's the sequel to it, right?
Yes. Barbara Streisand, the mom in that particular movie, the sex therapist.
Yeah.
I would be that type of mom.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I remember her.
No, I'm serious. I've always been that way with like my nephews and nieces. And they know that they can come to me with a question, and that as long as it's not a secret that's going to endanger themselves or somebody else, that I will keep it.
Right.
And they can ask me any question they need to ask me, and I will answer them truthfully.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. You want somebody trustworthy answering questions.
Yeah.
And being real about it.
We've had that talk.
Yeah.
And it's funny, though. I think they're almost more uncomfortable talking about it with me than I am with them, if that makes any sense. We talk about it pretty much everything.
Perfect. Actually, this was the talk that my mother had with me. I think I was like 13 or 14. She's like, you probably know more about sex than I do. And I just bust out laughing. She's like, yeah, okay. And that was the end of our talk.
Yeah.
But you know, I was a girl. I read all those romance books. I knew, logistically speaking.
Yeah, you know how it all goes together. You know how it all works.
Right, and because I had a really ornery family, I knew where babies came from and shit, all that good stuff. So there wasn't any like I was going to go out and get in trouble because we didn't have a longer talk.
Yeah, no. But growing up on a farm has its advantages as far as that goes, knowing where babies come from, because you just see it happen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my dad was a farrier, horse trainer, breeder.
Yeah.
So every time I was growing up and some guy said, it's as big as a horse. So I'm like, I fucking hope not. And they'd be like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, do you know how big a horse is?
Yeah, think about the logistics of horse sex. It's not for the
No, just no.
Absolutely no.
So inquiries really want to know, is Skip shy or is he just super ornery and hide it?
I am almost paralyzed by my shyness, and it's kind of almost exhausting for me to be unshy, but it's not that I'm just a little like reclusive. I guess shy maybe not be the word. I'm not big on groups and parties and
right.
I'm
like that actually.
You know, just,
I'm an introverted. I'm an introverted extrovert, or maybe I'm an extroverted introvert. I'm probably an extroverted introvert because I like my core people and home the best.
Yeah.
However, if you get me in front of an audience and I'm talking about something like I'm knowledgeable about, I can stand up in front of, I've sang in front of a few thousand people. So I've, talking, telling jokes, that kind of stuff. I'm comfortable on stage, so to speak, but I'm not necessarily comfortable like in a party type situation.
In a small, when the people actually have faces.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
Do you find that that's kind of the same for you?
Yeah. I can fake it pretty much anywhere, but it's exhausting.
Right.
To be at a party, I only went to parties because I had to. I had no desire to be there, and I hope that doesn't turn people off. It's just I'm just.
You don't have to be a party animal for us. You do you.
Yeah. No, I'm not a party animal. Not a social butterfly.
Yeah, but people need to understand that part. That doesn't mean that you're boring or whatever. I mean, I'm not a party animal either, but I'm not a party animal either. But I've also have an extensive working knowledge of sex, sexual history, tantra, etc. So. Y'all spent your time drinking, and I spent my time studying sex. Now, my liver's fine, and I know how to give somebody an orgasm two dozen ways. What about you? I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, Skip, you're not boring with all the stuff that you've done.
Or sexual dining. Yeah, no, I've never been really super social, and it took me a while before I realized, you know what? It's okay. You don't have to be super social. Not everybody is. Some people love hanging out and being in groups and big groups and parties.
See, and I actually never would have gotten that because you and I talk every day on Facebook.
Sure. That's a little different. And you and I it's easy to talk to you. You're not judging
Thank
me.
You.
You're mostly just asking me questions. And
or harassing you.
Harassing me, which is fun. I mean, that's all good natured.
I told him I was charging
habits
for every picture I liked.
Well, you've got
and he said okay.
Right?
So, I'm stockpiling the hugs. Well, I'm still waiting for you to come to Oklahoma for a photo shoot sometimes because, not only do I have the horses, but I can also get the birds of prey.
Oh, my God. I showed my son that picture of you with that hawk on your shoulder. Was it a hawk or a golden eagle?
No, it was a hawk.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a Harris hawk, Valkyrie.
That's right.
And then I have one also with an owl. Ritual.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
But I've never landed Ritual. I've actually landed Valkyrie. And then when Robert proposed to me, I got to land the hawk. That day too. I know,
that's
and the ring was on the little thing. That was so
like
cool.
To do. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that interests me. I see a bird of prey, I see a hawk swoop down and pick up a snake or a rabbit or something. It's like
I still want
to
take. I still need to go with Bob. Maybe you can come sometime when we take him hunting, like in the fall.
Yeah.
Because he takes volunteers.
That's just amazing. I would love to see that.
Absolutely takes volunteers.
Love it.
You spent time in the Navy? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I did.
Do you have a favorite, like, port of call that you got to visit when you were in the Navy?
You know, I was shore based. I was P3, so I didn't do a lot of international, but I have been to like Rota, Spain. We have a big P3 base in Rota, so I've been there, and I've been a good little bit of Europe and a good little bit of the Far East. But favorite, I was actually stationed in Newport, Rhode Island for a little while at QB Point. Rhode Island's an amazing little town, an amazing little state. I was in Newport, and it's just one of those places that you can get from one end to the other on a bicycle, which I actually did. But that's
right.
Probably my favorite. Old and cliffs had, you know, cliffs down to the shore, down to the water, and just fancy homes and little tiny, yeah.
Okay,
it's just kind of quaint and cool.
I have two questions for you, and then we're going to pull Sherry back online with us. So the first question I'm going to give you, because I'll give you time to think about it and answer it whenever you want. Is there a question that you've always wanted to answer that no one's asked you?
Oh, okay. Wow.
And now that I've asked that one, I've probably forgot the other one. Do you see what it's like to be me? No, I'm kidding. Okay, now I'm going to preface this with, this is a situation only, people. Skip is married, okay? Everybody understand that? All right, now, let's say an alternate universe, Skip was single. What kind of women are you drawn to? This is just for, you know, our readers out there. We like our book boyfriends.
So I'm answering this one first.
Yes, and then you can answer the other one either before I pull Sherry on or just sometime before the end of the show.
Okay, well, let me answer the second question first. What kind of women am I drawn to? That is kind of here's what I'll tell you. I wind up very often with cancers, and I don't know if you know what cancers are like. And, it's not like I seek them out, but I would say probably 60% of the women that I had any true, meaningful relationship, cancers. So
that's why we get along so well.
Yeah. Are you
Cancer. I'm a cancer.
Okay. Yeah. That would explain it. I mean, because you're just easy to talk to for me. And I think typically cancer women I just don't have a hard time opening up and
We tend to be good listeners.
Maybe that's what it is. So, good listeners. And I probably would say attracted to someone who's not, like, big on the nightlife and partying and carousing, more into...
You like homebody. Like you'd rather do family things than party things.
Family things or eclectic things. Because I have, my dog training, my little frustrated cowboy side, I have some interests that probably aren't very mainstream.
But there's still lots of fun. I mean, how can you go wrong with dogs and horses? Just saying.
You can't, but I think there's probably a lot of people that it wouldn't be the least bit interested in either one. And I'm not saying they have to be exactly like me or have to like exactly everything that I like. But there's certain things, like when I met my wife, I basically told her I have dogs, I go to the gym, I go to Redskin games. Those three things are non-negotiable. You can have everything else. I'll do anything else you want. But I remember saying that. And at that time, I was, in my late 30s. So it was like, I'll just throw this out there and see if it works. I'm not sure about it.
Now, see, I like that. I like honest. Honest is so good. I wish more people would do that.
Yeah, because I've been doing those things for so long, and it wasn't something that was going to go away. And I would have been frustrated in a relationship where I had to compromise and give up those things. So I was like, what? Those things are kind of not hallowed ground, but it's going to be kind of those things are kind of mainstays in my life. So. And I was fortunate enough to find somebody that,
I love that.
So not.
All right. Would you like to answer the first question now, or you want me to bring Sherry back on first?
The first question was a question that I would like that I've never been asked that I wished was asked or something along those lines.
Yes.
Okay, let's bring Sherry back on.
I know it's a tough question, isn't it? You have to have time to think, Miss Sherry. Sherry, did you bring Millie with you?
Yes, she's here.
Hi, Miss Millie. I miss you.
Who's Miss Millie? Millie?
Her puppy.
Oh.
She's my little Chihuahua mix rescue.
Yeah, Sherry came and spent a week here. And she survived and everything.
Wow.
I mean, we only had to put her in the mental hospital 2 days after she left. But other than that.
I survived. I had to sleep the whole next day when I came home. But, you know, I survived.
That's a long drive, though.
Yeah. It was a long drive, but we made it. And, I mean, literally, we got home at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. We all went to sleep, and then I didn't get up until like
5 o'clock that night. I was like, "Sherry, are you alive?"
Yeah.
Her response
was
barely going back to bed.
Yeah, it was. I was exhausted.
Skip, who's your favorite bands? Like musically, who are some people you like? All band musicians.
I think, you know, I have a pretty wide variety of music that I listen to, but I always tell people if I got stuff like where I had to grab up 5 CDs or 5 albums or whatever we call them now, and I was going to be, you know, either putting them in a time capsule or I was going to be traveling to Mars and I only had could bring 5 albums along, it would be Eric Clapton would definitely be in there. And
I love
Eric Clapton. It's kind of weird, but he's not weird at all. He's a blues musician. A lot of the stuff that people are familiar with that he did, you know, he did some more mainstream things, but as he says, that he always puts the blues in, and he's, you know, he'll go from Delta blues to Chicago blues to he just covers the whole gamut, and he's like
ambassador
for the blues.
It's because of him that I got more into blues, like B.B. King and I was totally stoked when B.B. King and Willie Nelson did Milk Cow Blues together because my mother was a huge Willie Nelson fan, so that was just fun.
Yeah, I had that CD with them. That's one of my favorite CDs. In fact, Jimmy Vaughn's on it and B.B. King's on it. It's a phenomenal CD. But yeah, Clapton, you know, I love a lot of musicians, a lot of artists. But if I had to pick one and just say that's my favorite, I would probably just say Eric Clapton because he kind of covers a lot. And he's real humble about it. You know, if you listen to him talk about music, he breaks it down in dummy terms. He'll tell you why he plays what he plays. And he's a phenomenal musician and a phenomenal guitar player, but he doesn't talk down to you when he's explaining things.
Yeah, I actually wish that Prince wouldn't have been so shy because he was so creative. I would have loved to, like, pick his mind more.
I almost mentioned him. He's definitely right up there. He could play anything. He could play any instrument like a virtuoso, you know.
He
doesn't get anywhere near enough credit on the guitar.
He really became popular mainstream about the time I became a teenager and got into hormones. And all those wonderful songs, Darling Nikki, and it was just like...
Yeah. You can ask
it was like he
that?
Was like there
yeah,
with
can.
You, like reading your, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a different kind of cat. I remember exactly where I was. I was driving home from work when I found out when I heard that he had passed away. I was blown away. I'm like, he was such a
I was so sad.
Individual. Oh, my God.
And then, you know, we'd lost David Bowie a few months earlier, and he's, you know, oh, God.
But we've lost a bunch lately.
That
we
was, that, yeah.
Of,
so many fantastic musicians. Yeah. And, you know, Kiss is probably my favorite all-time band because my dad, I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him, but for my 8th birthday, he gave me a turntable stereo with an 8-track and his Kiss collection. albums, his collection albums. And yeah. every time I'd go see him, we'd go to the used record store, and he'd get me a new Kiss record. So
that era of rock.
They have always been my favorite because of that, and I've always stuck with them. And the fact of the matter is, I like Gene. I mean, he can be a dick, but he's just a really this is who I am. This is how it is. And an interview.
He was the showman. It was just a show. It wasn't just a band. It was an entire show.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're the ones that started the pyrotechnics. They're the ones that did the drum rise,
yeah.
the drum
that's
kit rise.
I mean.
Yeah, all that stuff started with Kiss. And you know, Gene is actually the one that found Van Halen, and gave them their leg up.
Yeah. It didn't hurt that Eddie Van Halen was one of the most ridiculous guitar players of all time.
No, and actually Gene said that in an interview not long after Eddie passed. He's like, it was Eddie's talent and parents that did it, man. I was just the guy who happened to stance upon it and had the opportunity to do something with him. So, yeah, that was, I think, pretty cool. Yeah, TV shows. Do you have, a guilty pleasure? I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I think I was saying that a lot of times talent alone won't get you there. So the Gene Simmons connection was, vital.
Right. Well, Gene talks about that, too, the fact that musicians aren't really musicians anymore. Most of them don't play, and they can't sing without auto-tune.
It's all studio productions. Not all,
but
there's a lot of just produced in the studio. It's like Myth Music. They just make crunch out stuff that's going to sell, and it's here today and gone tomorrow. It's got no staying power, but nobody cares, and just move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Now, do you have a guilty pleasure TV show?
Oh boy, back when I was a kid, I used to watch, and this is going to date me, but I used to watch. The guilty pleasure was probably that I Love Lucy and Green Acres.
I Love Lucy.
I used to watch all those shows in a row. And
the old Batman,
Andy Griffith. Batman. Yeah,
I still watch those shows. I go to those more than I do the modern ones. I'll go to the myself pretty much, and I'm home.
Yep.
It's either Robert and I, or he's at work. So I hear a lot. So I'll just put the old TV shows on in the background, just so it's kind of like that comforting kind of home thing. You hear Aunt B or something like that. Now.
It's funny. I got my son into. I got Major into Twilight Zone. I used to watch the Twilight Zone. It's so weird, but it's so well produced. And if you,
I haven't watched the new episodes,
and
but
Major
I like the old ones.
Loves it. The old ones. Yeah, we watched the old ones. The ones that Jordan Peele has done. Have you heard of Jordan Peele? He's a brainiac. I think he's probably a genius, but he does those. Twilight Zone episodes like Rod Serling, and he did his homework. He's not just trying to make a buck off of a name. He gets to a T. He's got those things, the storyline and the intro and the quirky camera angles. He's got it. He nails it. And so we watch both. We watch the old school Rod Serling.
I love it.
We watch the
Have you seen the old school one with Shatner with the thing on
the
edge of the plane?
Yeah,
the thing on the wing.
Yeah.
I think that's when his overacting started or something. It was over the top.
Yeah, that's one of the more iconic episodes. And the first time we watched it, I told Mage about it, and he was younger and he was scared to see the thing on the wing. And once he finally saw it. By today's standard, it's not really that frightening looking.
When I was a kid, it scared me. When I watched it as an adult, it didn't. But when I was a kid, it scared me.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I guess I rambled on a little bit. The Guilty Pleasure show, maybe Twilight.
No, keep rambling. I like it. Are you a Trekkie?
Not at all. And I have a story about Star Trek. And I'm probably not a Trekkie because it came on at 5 o'clock and all my friends would go inside and watch it. We'd be out playing football or playing baseball or something. Everybody would scatter to go home and watch Star Trek. I was having more fun playing whatever we were playing.
Right.
So I was always a little bitter over Star Trek. But my son likes it, so again, I've been to the movies and watch it. So, but yeah, no, I'm not a Trekkie. Not a Trekkie at all. I won't lie about that.
That's all right. You don't have to. What else? What about Star Wars?
Star Wars, I like. I like Star Wars. I remember the very first episode, or the very first movie. Saw it in the old school movie theater, Aspen Hill, and
it was one
of the first big Dolby, you know, the Dolby sound. That sound was behind you, and
shook
all these theater,
yeah.
Yeah, shook the theater. Yeah, that's what I like about Star Wars. It's just the over the top kind of. It feels like you're in it. You know, you're not just sitting there watching. It feels like you're in it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
The stories are great. The stories are, yeah. It's the whole production. But probably not like my top pick to go to see a movie. But I always enjoyed watching it because it was just such a blow-you-away experience.
Yeah, kind of like the first time you see Harry Potter, like the very first Harry Potter movie.
Yeah. Son loves that. And I like him because he likes him. I'm seeing, and I don't want to blow on my kids too much longer, but I'm getting to see things over again through them, you know, new stuff through them, stuff that I wouldn't have noticed because they're noticing it. That's kind of cool. I would have not paid Harry Potter any attention whatsoever except for my kids, especially Mage, and he, you know, kind of introduced me to it. And so I'm watching because he's watching, and wow, that's pretty cool. It's actually a big time.
That is pretty cool. It was,
yeah. I think I told you we went to, or actually I posted a picture of us at the Kennedy Center. We went to see, which is the Phoenix,
the Rise of Phoenix.
Harry Potter,
right.
Rise of the Phoenix. So the National Symphony Orchestra is playing the soundtrack to it, playing the music score and the soundtrack while you're watching the movie. And so you're looking down into the orchestra pit watching Stephen Reneke, the conductor of the National Symphony Orchestra, he's conducting the hell out of this ridiculous orchestra while you're watching the movie. And it's you talk about the acoustics in the Kennedy Center are second to none, and it's just jaw dropping watching him work that. It's just crazy, and he's you know right in time with the movie, just spot on. It's something to see. I was blown away. It's like watching a Saturn rocket take off. It's like, oh my God, that's crazy. They're that good.
That is.
That
I would love to see that. It's like kind of like that.
Yeah.
Maybe the first time I saw Fantasia in at the 3D theater.
Yeah.
With Fantasia 2000 when they did it in the big 3D
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And we had one of the. The first like 3D style theaters in Indianapolis, and it was one of those like 6-story or 7-story or whatever high, you know, kind of thing that you went to. And I remember like my first husband wanted to go like way up high, and I felt like I was going to get a nosebleed. I mean, that's how high you were. But then you get on the screen, and the stuff just like washes over you, and you're like, wow, it was pretty amazing.
That is very amazing. One of those things that you kind of sneaks up on you, like, wow, I was not expecting it to be that impressive.
So if you had a place to keep a horse now, would you have one?
If I had a place, yeah, I would absolutely have one. We were just talking about that the other day. And I saw a meme or something about how much effort goes into owning a horse versus how much riding time you get. And it's true. I mean, horses are a lot of work. You know what I mean? They're a lot of work. But yeah, I would definitely have a horse. I would probably have two. And it's, you know, Mage and I, Olivia and I have a lot of things in common. And then Mage and I have a lot of things in common. And Mage and I pretty much, it's more animals. He loves wildlife. He loves, you know.
Well, tell him to put his gear on. I have a filly that needs to be broke.
On our way.
Like, all right. Actually, I really wish I had a pawn because I just saddle her up and ride her into the pond.
I think I need to answer that question, although I don't have an answer for you yet.
Yes, you do.
You know, I don't get asked this, and I would think that people would ask me more, and maybe they're afraid to. But I'm a black man that grew up in predominantly white Midwest in the '60s, and nobody ever asked me what that was like. And I don't know that it's because they don't care, or if it's because it never dawns on them, or if it
No, actually, it was one of the questions that it was something I wanted to talk to you about, but we actually ran out of time. We're like 6 minutes over now. So,
okay.
Why don't you give us an answer, and then why don't we make another time where we can actually expand on that longer? Because I would really love to know what that was like.
I don't want to bore everybody to death. It was.
I could have bored you to death.
I said I don't want to bore everybody to death. But so I think maybe that's where some of my reclusiveness comes from, because there were a lot of areas where I felt like I didn't really fit in. And it wasn't because I wasn't welcome. It was because I just felt like I didn't really fit in. And my out for that was I was really athletic. So, and I was pretty bright. So I never really felt like I was I never really felt like I was substandard in any way. But I
right.
Just,
do you think that was one of your driving factors in becoming successful in pretty much everything you touch?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, let's go through his bio. If you didn't read it, you know, he lettered 9 times in high school before winning his first letter at WVU as a freshman. Then he went on to have a career in the Navy before a successful business career, and then second degree black belt, IFBB pro, and let's not forget father of 16-year-olds. I mean, that in itself is a lot nowadays, because kids do so many activities and there's so many things they could get into. Not that I feel that Major or Olivia, either one, are drawn to that, but there are still lots of things out there that you as a parent have to be aware of. That's a lot. And then let's see, hobbies, dog training. I was talking to you the other day when you were like, oh, I'm playing guitar. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, we haven't touched on guitar yet. I do. In fact, a lot of the little bluesy licks and runs that I know, I kind of learned just from listening to him. But it's the one thing that I've been drawn to that I don't have a natural aptitude for, if that makes any sense. Most of the things that I'm drawn to, I can do, or at least I have an aptitude to do them, and I just build on it. Guitar is something that comes with nothing but practice for me. You know, some people I know have picked it up and just gone to town. I don't have that.
Right.
But I also realize that, so I've tried to not pressure myself and get disappointed. I just play it, you know. If it sounds good, it sounds good. If it doesn't, oh well, you know.
And some things are just meant to be enjoyed.
Yeah, and I enjoy doing it, so. Sorry if it sounds sad, but I'm having fun.
Do you cook? Because I know you have the kids a lot.
I do.
Like in the evening.
But most of it's kind of not great. I mean, as far as I don't whip up a meal like your grandmother used to make. It's more, you know, I know my way around the grill pretty well, and I can boil noodles and put sauce on it, that kind of stuff. I don't really cook like a cook. I probably would if I had more time, but we just go boom, you know, 100 miles an hour during the week. So
yeah. Do we have a result? How did Olivia do in her mock trial?
They did not win, and she was a little bitter, but she wasn't all surprised.
Darn it.
So, The yeah, I know. The judging was really kind of odd, and she explained it perfectly. I understood exactly what she meant. And she wasn't making an excuse, because if she didn't do well, she's the first one to tell you, I didn't do well on that. And it really wasn't her that poorly judged, but in this particular trial, but the way the judging came out and the way the write-up was done, it was just odd. And their sponsor, basically their coach, wasn't really too satisfied with the answers. But you learn from it, but anything that's judged is subjective. So, you know, you do your best, and then the judges kind of give you a score. So you can't,
right.
you can't get too
right.
hung up on it. If you did your best, you can't get too disappointed. You know, it's a judge.
That's very true. Now, when you agree to come back, will you play guitar for us?
I'll play a little bit. I won't
okay.
lie. It's not going to sound great, but I will play a little bit. I'll just play my acoustic. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it. Because if it's at this time of night, everybody, you know, I'll blow up the house with the electric. But,
you don't want to blow up the house. All right, well, as much as I hate to let you go, I also know that you get up before God to go work out. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show with me tonight, Skip, and I look forward to having
awesome.
You back.
I hope some people called in, and I hope they learned a little bit, and hopefully they'll call back and learn a little bit more. But I had a blast. I had a really good time, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on. Good night.
All right. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.